I'm going to talk today about children working in the streets, and specifically about the injuries suffered by these children while they are working in the streets. I have done this work with Professor Sally Koblinski and Sandra Hoffer from University of Maryland, and the broad project I have worked with Carlos Pinzón and Leonardo Briceño from University of El Rosario in Bogotá, Colombia. I don't have any disclosure. As you know, there are about 218 million children working worldwide, and most of these children are working in hazardous occupations. One of these hazardous occupations is working in the streets, and is the occupation that we see more common in the big cities. Estimates range from considering that there are 30 to 100 million children working in the street worldwide, and we know that the number is growing in Latin American cities. Why we were interested in studying this? First, because we know already that children are more vulnerable to work injuries than adults. Also, because street laborers usually don't benefit from labor regulations. And it's not that the regulation don't exist. We have regulation in all the countries, but working in the street is part of the informal sector, so they don't really get covered, and the legislation are not enforced. So these children usually work long periods of time, they earn lower wages, and they don't benefit from social security or health coverage. Additionally, some of these children not only work, but also live in the streets, which is an additional and complex problem. And finally, there have been some health hazards identified for these children working in the streets. Among them, there are physical hazards like the sun, the noise, the dust in the streets. Additionally, biological hazards like street animals, and also viral and bacterial infections that are common there. Chemical hazards, the smogs, we know that there are very polluted cities, especially the very big ones. Ergonomic factors, these children are selling products, so they have to carry this product on their backs. And also they are performing acts, so they are doing gymnastics and all this performance with any protection. Finally, the streets are not an easy environment for these children. They have to get involved with gangs. Even the police officers and people in the street are not always very nice to them. The evidence on occupational injury in children is not, it hasn't been very well studied, and this is of course because we shouldn't have children working and we shouldn't have children getting injured from job. But estimates range from considering that these injuries are suffered by 3.3% of this population to consider that they are suffered from 17% of this population. What we know for sure is that most of these injuries go underreported. And also we know that there are some factors that have been associated with these injuries. Among these factors, we have the demographic factors, gender. Most of the studies consider that boys are more prone to these injuries than girls. Age, the evidence on age is not clear. Some studies consider that there are the younger children that are getting injured and others that they are the older children. But it's usually a variable that is related to this. And race, most of the studies tell us that minorities are more prone to suffer from these injuries. On the labor factors, we know that job tenure, time of exposure, exposure to physical hazard, type of occupation, work loss, and job boredom have been associated with this. As other factors, we have negative affectivity, poor physical health, and substance abuse related with the injuries. Our study sought to determine the prevalence and nature of these occupational injuries in four Latin American cities, and especially to identify the factors that predict these injuries of children working in the streets. We conducted a cross-sectional study with a sample of 586 children working in four Latin American cities, and our cities were Sao Paulo, Brazil, Lima, Peru, Quito, Ecuador, and Bogota, Colombia. What we did is we applied a questionnaire with 50 items, and we found those items, many of them, from previous questionnaires that were used for this population in the streets. And these instruments were applied by trained and qualified interviewers in native of each of these cities. For our variables, we consider child occupational injury, an injury suffered by a child while working in the street that was seriously enough to stop a child working at least for one day. That was the definition. For the severity, we actually use a proxy of severity, and we define mild injuries as scratches, cutaneous lacerations, and sprains, while we define it severe injuries as amputations, car accidents, and burns. For the independent variables, we consider hours of work at daytime and at nighttime, and we define this according with the daylight. And we consider it a weekly number of hours. And for the occupation, probably, as you know, if you have been in the cities, not all the children are doing the same occupation in the streets. There are children that are begging in the streets, there are others that are selling products in the streets, there are others that are cleaning cars, performing acts. There are many occupations in the streets, so we consider that variable as well. Our control variables were divided in individual factors. We consider gender, age, and minority status. For Latin America, we consider minority to be a native of the region or black, and the majority group mestizos or whites. For the social factors, we consider schooling, if the child was attending or not a school, living in the streets, and displacement. These displaced children are the children that migrated from the rural areas to the cities. For the broad environmental factors, we consider the city and the social security affiliation of the child. For our analysis plan, we started doing the descriptive statistics, then we did bivariate correlation, and finally a multivariate analysis using binomial logistic regression. We regressed child occupational injury and severity of occupational injury on occupational variables first, in the first model. The second model, we included the child demographic characteristics. In the third model, the social environmental characteristics, and in our final model, the broad environmental factors. For the results, we found a prevalence of occupational injury for the total sample of 39.6%, and a prevalence of moderate to severe injury of 16%. We can see that these children are working on average 38.7 hours during the daytime and 72.3 hours during the nighttime. Most of these children were selling products in the street, 53% of the sample. Our average age for them was 11.8 years. Most of these children were boys, like around 68% of them were boys. Just 15% were minorities. 66% of them were in school. 7% were living in the streets. And you can see here the migration, 65% of these children were coming from the rural areas. And only 37% had social security affiliation. For our sample, we know that 32% of these children came from Bogota, 34% from Lima, 16% from Quito, and 18% from Sao Paulo. In our bivariate correlations, we found that the factors that were positively associated with the injury were the number of hours that the children work at daytime. We see the greater the number of hours, the greater the possibility of an injury, as well as occupation performing. Children that were performing in the street were more prone to suffer these injuries. The age, the older the child, the more likely to suffer the injury. And living in Quito, children living in Quito were more prone to suffer injuries. For the factors that were negatively associated, we found gender, where boys were more likely to suffer this injury, schooling, children that were not in school were more likely as well, and children that were not, that didn't have social security affiliation were as well more likely to suffer the injury. For the migration status, we found that actually the children that had migrated to the city were less likely to suffer the injury. If we consider just the group of moderate to severe injury, what we found is that boys were more likely than girls to suffer the injury. Displaced children were less likely to suffer the injury. Children in Bogota were less likely to suffer the injury, and children in Quito were more likely to suffer it. In our multivariate models, we found that the number of hours of work at daytime was a variable that was very related, and it continued to be associated even after controlling for all the variables. We know that for each additional hour that a child works in the street per week, he or she has an increase of 1% in the incidence of an injury. We found also that children are performing acts also after controlling for the rest of the factors, are 3 times more likely to suffer these injuries as compared with the children that are selling products in the streets. The other factors that were associated with age and minority status. We found that the children that are part of the non-minority group were more likely to get the injury. For the children that suffered the severe injury, we just found the gender associated with that. Boys were more likely to suffer the injury. And we found just trends for age, older kids are more likely to suffer, and for keto, again. As a conclusion, we can see that we found a mean age of the children of 11.8 years, which we can see that we have very young children working in the street to have this mean age there. We found that 2/3 of these children were boys, which agree with what has been published before about this population of children. We know that they have limited access to healthcare. In our study, just 37% of them had access. 75% reported displacement, migration from the countryside. And we found that these children are working on average 46 hours per week, which is above a full time for the region. So they are working very long hours. And 65% of the children were studying, which is this data is above what was found before in other studies, which probably a good thing to know, that at least they are in school. For the injury, we found a lifetime incidence of 40%, which is well above what has been found before. And we can explain this by 2 factors. First, we calculated a lifetime incidence rate of injury. And many of the studies usually calculate only yearly incidence rate. And you can see here, of course, scratches were the ones with the highest incidence. But even we have a 0.3% of children with amputation, and 9% of children suffer a car accident, and 9% of children suffer some burns. For the car accidents, while we were conducting the interviews in the street, it was very sad to see that one of the children that we interviewed died like 2 days later. These children were selling products in the streets, and a chocolate fell under a car. So the child tried to rescue the chocolate, and the driver didn't know that she had a child under the car, so she just started driving, and the child died. For the predictors of injury, the number of hours of daytime, this is logical, of course. The higher the exposition, the more likely a child to get an injury. The type of occupation children who perform are more likely to suffer a risk, to suffer the injury. And this is also logical if we know that children usually, children that perform play with fire, with knives, they are doing gymnastic acts without any protection, so this is easily explained as well. For the age, since we calculated a lifetime incidence, of course the older children are more likely to get injured, and for the non-minority status, this was kind of surprising for us, but we can explain this also for 2 factors. One is that usually when a family can come to the cities, this is all the family that is working in the streets. So many of these children that coming from the minority populations actually are with their families. So they have adult supervision in the streets that could be a protective factor for them. And also we think that maybe these children are more street savvy. They are used to the dangers, and so they take better care of themselves. For the predictors of severe injury, we found that gender is a predictor. Boys are more likely to get that, and this has been found in the past by other authors, as well as age and living in Quito. For the limitation and strengths, of course, this is a cross-sectional study. We are not establishing causality. We didn't have a random and representative sample. It's impossible to get this sample. We don't even know exactly number of children that live in the streets. The interviews we conducted during the daytime, so perhaps we are missing all what is happening to these children at night. We only included 4 cities in Latin America, and of course they are not representative of all the region, and we must have lots of responding bias on this as well. For the strengths, we have a substantial sample that was rigorously selected. This work expands the knowledge on the topic. It used multivariate methods to eliminate the effects of confounding factors, and we try to follow the highest standard on research. For the programmatic and policy implication, we think that this is enough evidence to intervene in the phenomenon. We would like to change the parental and children attitudes towards child labor, since they think that this is good for the children, so that's why they really send the children to work in the streets. We would like to reduce the long daytime hours that these children work in the streets. We wouldn't like to see our children performing in the streets. And we like to emphasize that Quito is perhaps the city that has a bigger program, since they have like a greater probability of having children suffering injuries and severe injuries. Training children and skill building in the schools is another option. Improving access of this population to healthcare, of course, and perhaps the most important is combat the causes of child labor in general. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pinzon-Rondon. One of the things that strikes me about the last 3 presentations is that the burden of megacities and the global health issues seem to disproportionately affect children. All of what we've heard so far has been about how children have been affected most, and of course that has enormous implications for the productivity of the entire society. So I hope we get to some of that in our questions. The next presenter, my colleague Dr. Linda Landesman, is going to talk about the other end of it, what happens in a couple of ways. One is she's going to present a case study from a developed country setting, from the U.S. Well, it's developed country unless you talk to Michael Marmot. But she's going to talk about the other side, not the prevention side, but how do you respond to disasters in a large U.S. city. And with that, I'm afraid I have to respond to a disaster of my own. One of my dubious responsibilities as program chair is to troubleshoot issues that go on. And so I've been told I have to be over in the Marriott for something else. So I will leave you after this introduction of Dr. Landesman. My colleague, Dr. Greg Pappas, will moderate the questions. So I'll ask Linda to continue her discussion until 9:45. Linda Landesman is, I'm sure, well-known to most of you. She's been a colleague of mine for many years. She has written the book on disaster management and public health, and she is a member of our executive board of APHA, and she's now also the chair of the executive board of APHA. She has bravely fought through her own health issues triggered by San Diego fog to be with us and present. And she's going to talk to us about disaster management in megacities, a case study from New York City. Please welcome Linda.
Thank you very much.